Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, destiny, and purpose that God has for us. This there place that we mention and consistently talk about is that Abraham walk. The Bible speaks of how Abraham pleased God with his walk of faith. And Galatians 3 lets us understand that the Bible says that if we have the faith of Abraham, then we are the children of God and we are heir to the promises of Abraham. So therefore, this place of making is an Abraham walk where God allows life and situations to stretch us and to make us and to shape us to believe him for the impossible, to see the goodness of him, to believe that he has a plan that's greater than the impossibilities that we face and that he will make these things manifest in our life as our faith joins in that type of Abraham type of faith to believe God and see what he sees and hear him and respond to him with obedient faith. We've been studying the book of Proverbs, and we've been getting and gaining much knowledge, much wisdom, much understanding. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. God downloaded his wisdom into him because he asked for wisdom to lead God's people. And therefore, the first chapter of that Proverbs book lets us understand why, because we need to be skilled and know how to act in every situation and every circumstance. God wants us to know how to solve problems in wisdom and to act and respond in wisdom and to speak in wisdom and to treat people in wisdom and to know what to do in wisdom as we trust him. The whole Bible is full of so many different great nuggets of wisdom, knowledge, understanding about God, his will, his desire, his plan, his purpose, his hand, his authority. But it also lets us understand who we are and what we're supposed to gain and who we're supposed to be like throughout the Word of God. Going back to the book of Proverbs, looking as we started last week at blessed and blessings, and looking at different scriptures in the book of Proverbs that mention blesses and being blessed and the blessings of God. We're going to go back to Proverbs 11:26, and it says, "He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but he blesses, but blessing shall be upon the head of him who selleth it." And what this is talking about is how we respond, how we treat people and what we do. Curse is going to be basically on the head of those who drive hard bargains, those who do things that mark up prices that are ridiculous. There's going to be a curse on their head, but there's going to be a blessing on those who play it fair and do it square. The Bible lets us understand that this is showing us, teaching us, or trying to teach us how that time and chance happens for everybody, and everybody finds himself in different places at different seasons and times. But if we sow the right things, do the right things, then we're going to see God's hand of mercy on our life, regardless of what happens. We are seeing here that selfishness is foolishness, and being selfish and being greedy is a foolish thing to do, because we don't understand that it's bringing a curse on anyone who does this, because they dishonor God when they cheat people and they create enemies. So we want to make sure that we do the right thing in every aspect of our lives, no matter where we are, because that bargaining tool does not necessarily have to be in the marketplace. It can be on a job. It could be dealing in a business transaction. It could be in the community. It could be how you handle the affairs of ministries, or even in marriage, that you do it fairly with your children, with relationships. So it makes us look at everything in our life and say we must do it the way that God says, so that we can have the blessing of the Lord in our life and see the manifestation of him. Proverbs 20:7 says, "A just man walk in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." And this is a generational blessing that we want. We want that generational blessing to hit our lives, because loyal people to God live honest lives, and they make it easier for their children, because they're passing on generational blessings. Just like there are generational curses, there are generational blessings that visit every generation. And we want to pass on and give our children's children a blessing of what we've done through obedience unto the will of God, the standards of God, the command of God, so that they too can be blessed. The Bible lets us know that God visited every generation, and we want him to visit the generation of our lineage with blessings because we honored God, because we obeyed God. So there's a blessing and a reward in our obedience unto his word and showing the mind and the heart that honors God and kingdom principles and kingdom living. We want that so that no matter what's going on in the economy or in the government or in the world, because of what we've set, the seeds that we've sown, our children will reap. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren will reap what we've sown. We see that with David. We see how God has honored David's legacy through the lineage of his children and those who he didn't even meet because of that. Abraham, the same way, the Bible lets us understand that those blessings because of his faith, because of what he did, passes on so that lineages of people, generations of people are able to receive it if they believe, if they receive, if they do it the way that God says. So we want that. Proverbs, the 20th chapter, again, in the 21st verse, says to us, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. And this is wisdom on what we do and how we do it. It's wisdom on how we act and how we treat things, especially when we think we've walked on a gold mine. And we got to have wisdom, because if we make a hasty deal or hasty decision, it may look good in the beginning. It may look right. It may look like it's the best thing, but the end of it might not be what we think, because there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. So if we're just doing it because it looks good and we have not consulted the Lord and we have not asked him if this is for us, is this what we need to do, then the end of it may not be the guarantee that we want. It may not be what we're looking and expecting. So we have to make sure that everything we do, we're asking the Lord, is this what I need to do? Because something might look good in the beginning, but the end of it might not be what you want. So we always want to make sure that what we're putting our hand to, what we're going after, those transactions, those stocks, those investments, those business deals, those decisions about the family, it may look good in the beginning, but is this the will of God? Is this what we need to do? So we need to make sure we're always saying, Lord, lead me and guide me. Show me your will. Show me your way. Don't let me fall into traps. Don't let me stumble. Don't let me make a mistake that will cost me a great deal, cost my family, or cost my future a great deal. And I don't want to be able to make them suffer for me not asking you. So you need to make sure that whatever we do, we're making sure that God is in it. God's hand is on it. Proverbs 22:9 says, he that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor. And this is talking about generosity again. Someone who has a generous hand, who knows how to bless, he uses his hand to bless people, to give bread to the poor. And one thing you have to understand, because people will say, that's not going to be me. You never know what life is going to bring. You never know what's going to happen. No one wants to be in a predicament where they're poor or needy, but anything can happen. A prime example is this disaster, the storms that are coming through. These storms are taking out people who have and people who do not have. All of them are in the same boat because disaster hit all of them, calamity hit all of them at the same time. So it doesn't matter that you have the money or you have the house or the car. When it happens, everybody's in the same boat because you don't have access or cannot have access to what you normally would have access to. And that poor person is in the same boat as you. You both need, but you can't get what you need because the disaster is so devastating. So you need to make sure that you're sowing these seeds of mercy, of compassion, before calamity or disaster ever hits you, so that mercy will be shown unto you, given to you in your time of need. And if it's not you, it could be a family member. God will allow what you've done to be a blessing to someone else in your family or your children because of the seeds that you've shown. Mercy will be given to them when they're in predicaments that they cannot control, and that's because of what you've done. So never look pridefully at someone who's in a place where you see them in a down place, because some people that are poor, All they need is time and chance to happen in their life, and they might be on top again, and you might be looking at them. So we never look down, because we're supposed to have pity on the poor. We're supposed to be able to give when we have the means to give, whether it's our time, our energy, our prayers, our monies. We're supposed to be able to do that and do it in love, knowing that God himself is pleased by our actions. Proverbs 24 and 25 says, "But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them." Proverbs 24 and 25. And what this is talking about is basically standing up in truth, being wise when it comes to dealing with someone who is not, or doing wicked, or not treating people fair, or not doing what is right. And your rebuke, your stand against it, your words, basically is going to cause there to be a blessing on you, and a marking, so to speak, in the history books, in God's history books, in God's agenda, that you stood up for what was right, even if they don't hear, even if they don't understand, even if they don't do it. God sees you doing what is right, what is honorable, what is good. So it's a blessing in doing that, even if it's not popular. Even if it's not popular, because it's not going to be popular with everybody to do that. But when you do it and know that God is pleased, then your reward is going to come from God and not anyone else. If God lets someone else praise you for it, then that's good. But really, you are honoring God in your actions and your deeds and your words and your thoughts. And there is a way to do that and honor God in the process. Let me move, because my time is almost up in this empowerment. Proverbs 27 and 14, "He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted as a curse to him." And this is about how we respond to people, how we know people, how we walk in wisdom and treating people. Everybody is not an early riser. Some people stay up late at night. Some people are on Saturdays or the weekends like to sleep late. Some people get up very, very early, and they like to get their chores out of the way or do certain things. And if you have a friend that you're responding to on your pleasure time and it's not theirs, then even though it might be a good thing and you might be cheerful and you might be happy, it will be a curse unto you, because they won't appreciate it. They won't like it. They will get offended by it, and it will cause a rift in your relationship because of that. So it's all about being balanced and considering someone else's feelings and considering how they live and what they like. You can't always please people all the time, but it's about you being peaceable with all men. It's about you saying, I'm choosing to not disturb you in the time when I know you're resting, or I'm choosing not to awake you during the time that you may be asleep and I'm awake, whether it's late at night. It's about putting someone else first. And that neighbor could be your spouse. It could be your children, or a brother, a friend, a neighbor. But it's all about understanding, I'm going to treat you as I would want someone to treat me. And even though I'm on a different schedule or different flow right now, I still honor the fact that you don't get up early. Okay, so let me move on, because my time is up. A faithful man shall abound in blessings, but he that maketh haste shall be rich. To be rich cannot be innocent. This is Proverbs 28 and 29. And this scripture is talking about, again, about how we conduct things, being committed and persistent in the way that we work, and not trying to do get quick schemes, but doing it the way that we're supposed to, and doing it in a way that honors God. Proverbs 30 and 11 says, there's a generation that curses their father and do not bless their mother. And this is about treatment again. This is about relationship, how we want to be blessed with God. Don't curse our father, and don't fail to bless our mother. That God is a God of authority. And if you cannot honor your mother and your father, regardless of what they do, there's a way to do that, even if they have not been the best parents, that will honor God. It's a way to do it, and you have to seek God. And I don't have enough time to go into it, but if you want to be blessed, you do that and honor them in the way that the word says, regardless of what they have or have not done. You do what God says, and God will bless you. Proverbs 31 and 28 talks about the virtuous woman. and the wisdom that she has. And all of us need that wisdom, especially if we are women, on how to conduct our house and how our children and our husband, our family, and friends will call us blessed. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today. Have a blessed day. We'll see you back tomorrow.